I want to talk to you about the story about Jesus. It's based in Acts chapter 8. You look at that text in Acts chapter 8, you know the background if you've read the book of Acts much at all. A man's riding in the chariot. He's reading the Bible. The thing you might not have noticed is he's reading it out loud. Philip approaches the chariot and he hears the man reading. It'd be interesting to know if Philip recognized the very verses he was reading. You know these verses about the one who was led as a sheep to the shears and as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shears is dumb, so he didn't open his mouth. His judgment was taken away. There's no justice shown to him, and he has no generation, has no children. He is an individual, for his life is taken from the world. The man's riding along trying to figure out what this means, and he's got a question. Who's he talking about? I'm reading the Bible. I can't understand the Bible. I need someone to tell me. And so Philip begins at that place and preaches to him about Jesus. I want you to see that. Here's a man who did not know anything at all about Jesus, and now Philip begins at that place and teaches him about Jesus. By the way, earlier in this chapter, when the persecution came on the church in Acts chapter 5, the thing David mentioned is in the Soldiers of Christ Tonight, at least these matter of the Samaritans, Philip goes up there and guess what he preaches? He preaches to them about Christ. You and I need to understand as we think about the Bible that that's what they preached about. That's why we wanted to talk about, tell me the story of Jesus. Was it not Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5 that says, I've determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Does not that emphasize the importance of this? Here's a man who had been to Jerusalem to worship God, did not know about Jesus, worshiped Him after that Old Testament order, at least tried to. And now he's reading the Bible and he cannot figure it out because he doesn't know the New Testament. Philip has one sermon to preach to him, riding along in the chariot. What did he talk to him about? He talked to him about Jesus. And so when he gets up to Samaria and he preaches up there, they believe Philip's preaching concerning the kingdom of God. That's the one Jesus came to establish. And the name of Jesus, that's the authority of Jesus, and they were baptized, both men and women, up there in Samaria. You and I need to understand that the emphasis throughout the Bible and throughout especially the book of Acts is to teach about Jesus. We don't have time to look at Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, but does it not concern Jesus? Is that not the heart of the sermon? Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man accused of God among you. And I know that you know the story of Jesus tonight. I'm not going to tell you anything likely that you do not know. You may not have noticed, by the way, that the guy was reading the Bible out loud. I find that interesting in and of itself. But you already know the story. But you and I need to understand the importance of knowing this story about Jesus. And young people, you need to know it. Those of you who are younger, Roderick, you and Nathan and Caleb, and those of you who are younger here, 10 years of age and under, you need to know this story. And those of us who are older, who are, 60 years or more older than them, we need to know this story. And I love that song that we sing. I love to tell the story for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And so in this lesson tonight, I know that you already know the story of Jesus. But I want to remind the purity of your heart about the very theme of the Bible. Soldiers of Christ, in two words, what's the Bible all about? It is about Jesus Christ. And so we got 20 minutes. And in this 20 minutes, we're going to talk about this story. Let's get to the introduction of the story about Jesus and of the coming of Jesus. One of the earliest mentions of the coming of Jesus is where he is called the seed, S-E-E-D. Whenever God comes to Abraham and makes some promises to Abraham, and in the three promises that he makes to Abraham, he makes this promise, that in your descendant there will be one, there will be one single individual who will bless all of mankind. Abraham had no children. It would be many, many years before he has children, and yet 25 years before he ever had a child, God came to him and said, someday, Abraham, there is to come through you one individual that will be a blessing to all mankind. Now, I use the word seed because that's the word God used in Genesis chapter 22, chapter 22 and verse 18. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Galatians chapter 3 says that that word is singular, and because it is singular, we know that it refers to Jesus. In fact, Peter quotes this very verse from the Old Testament about, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He quotes it in Acts chapter 3, verse 25, and then in the next two verses he says, and all of the prophets, as many as have spoken, have prophesied about these days. What had happened in those days in the New Testament in Acts chapter 3? Jesus has already come. And so, Peter looks back and says, as many as the prophets have ever lived, he's prophesied about this time when that seed had come, when that one through whom all the world was going to be blessed. But go back to that time of Abraham and see the other promises that God made to Abraham. He not only promised that the seed would come, but before he promises the coming of the seed, he said, I will make of you a great nation. And he says, I will take this great nation after they go down to the land of Egypt and they're slaves for 400 years. They're mistreated down in the land of Egypt. They will come back and I'm going to put this great nation in a great land. Here's the story of the Bible in about three words. God says to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. The entirety of the Old Testament is written. The 39 books of the Old Testament are written to that great nation. He said, I'm going to put this great nation in a great land. And so that's the time whenever Moses comes and leads them into that great land. That's the Old Testament. The story of the Old Testament is the fact that there is the seed that is coming. There is that great nation that's going to be put in that great land. Now then, having said that, there is that seed promise, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Let's get the threefold promises. I'll make of you a great nation. Put you in a great land. That's the story of the old, that's what the prophets and that's what the kings and the judges, that's what that's all about. Read the Old Testament. The history of that Jewish nation in that land. And then, throughout the writings to those individuals, there is promise after promise of the coming of Jesus. Do you know how many specific promises there are about the coming of Jesus in the Old Testament? We ask that a lot. I hope you know the number. 332. I hope you know that number. The whole Testament is filled with the fact that someday someone is coming. What is he going to be like? Well, Moses introduces the first thing, the next part of the lesson, whenever Moses says, having led them out of the land of Egypt, I assume you know about the crossing of the Red Sea and their arrival there at Mount Sinai, and Moses being the mouthpiece for God. Moses goes up the mountain, gets the Ten Commandments. He gets the rest of the laws that were given to the Jews at Mount Sinai, and he brings them down, and he is the mouthpiece for God. And so there it's at Mount Sinai that we learn the first of the characteristics of this great one, that is this great seed. He's going to be a prophet. If you'd stood there near the end of the life of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 15, but especially verse 18, he says that someday the Lord will raise up from among you a prophet. I want you to hear that, because now it's not just some ambiguous seed that is coming. It's not just a descendant of Abraham, but it is a prophet that is just exactly like Moses. And Moses says, when that prophet comes, I'm giving you the Old Testament, but when that prophet comes, you are to listen to him, because he is going to be a prophet like me, and you and I understand that's where the New Testament comes from. We know who that individual was that came. We know who that seed was. And Moses says he is going to be a great prophet, and we have highlighted on the screen the great prophet, because I'm about to give you three other things about the coming of Jesus. What's the Old Testament? Make of you a great nation, put you in a great land, and send a great Savior. I'm going to send the seed. What is he going to be like? How will we know what he's going to do when he gets here? And Moses says, he is going to be a prophet. Now, before we amplify this aspect of the lesson and come back and add two other things to this, you and I need to understand that those 39 books of the Old Testament were a shadow of things that were to come. There are lights that shine down from above me, and out back behind me on this wall is my shadow. There is a shadow of me. You don't know exactly what I am, but it is a shadow of what I am. And the Bible says, and that's exactly what those first 39 books of the Old Testament are. They are a shadow of things that are going to come. And so when I read about Moses as a prophet, guess what? He's a shadow of that which was to come. And there, when we talk about David as a king, he's a shadow of that which was to come. And when we talk about priests in the Old Testament, they were a shadow of things that are to come. So let's turn our attention away from a great nation in a great land and a great seed coming, a great Savior coming. And let's look as we talk about the descriptions that are given of this seed that was to come. And if you get nothing more from this lesson, get these three points. The Old Testament says, someday a great prophet is going to come. Let's go ahead and put up the second point, and that is, someday a great king is going to come. And let's put the third one there also, and that is, a great priest is going to come. What's a prophet? What's a priest? I guess we understand what a king is, but what's a prophet and what's a priest? Let me see if I can illustrate it. Let me let this part of the stage represent God on his throne. Let me come off of the stage and come down here to this level, and there is the manifestation of the glory of God. God's got to tell me. God has got to speak to me. Did we not say they came to Mount Sinai? Moses went up into the mountain, into the very presence of God, and brought the Old Testament down and gave it to the Jews, those laws that were there for the Jews. And Moses says, I am a prophet. Here's mankind. There's the glory of God. And over here is God's mouthpiece. That's what a prophet is. The Bible says the story of Jesus is the story that someday a mouthpiece for God is going to come. Just like Moses stood as the mouthpiece for God and gave the Old Testament, someday there's going to come another individual He'll be like me, and he will be God's mouthpiece. That's what a prophet is. What is a priest? What is a priest? Forget about the Catholic concept of the priest and go back to that Jewish concept of the priest. Let's go back to our illustration. Here's God and here's man down on this earth. Here I am, or those individuals that stood there, and they need a priest. What does a priest do? Here's the prophet. The prophet is God's mouthpiece to come and to talk to mankind. You know what a priest is? He is that individual in the Old Testament system. There were many priests, but we're talking about the great priest Jesus, who is the one who approaches God on our behalf. In the Old Testament, if I had an animal sacrifice, if I had committed wrong, I would go to the priest. Here is mankind, there's the holy God. I would go to that priest, and that priest was there standing between me and God. And so the Jews were expecting someday someone would come. We understand what a king is, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But we also need to understand that the last chapter of the Old Testament closes with the prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. The last two verses of the Old Testament is a prophecy that before the seed comes, before the great prophet, the great king, the great priest comes, there will be that forerunner who would say, he's coming, he's on his way, and that's when the Old Testament ends. Guess how the New Testament opens up 400 years after the Old Testament? He's here. Who is here? Now listen to this. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. A virgin. Somebody who's never been with a man. A virgin shall be with child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Here's the story of the Bible, and get this. Here's the man in the chariot. Here are those individuals in pagan religions. And the Bible said, one of these days a virgin is going to conceive, and what you will have is God living on this earth in a human form. Young people, teens especially, this thing you've got to face. Was it really God? Did God really come as a little baby? Did God ever come and live on this earth in a human form? He came into the world different from any way anybody else has ever come into the world. A virgin conceived. And he gave the evidence throughout all of his life that he was not a man, he was God. He showed his power over nature, peace be still. He showed his power over disease when he cured every kind of disease. You and I need to understand that he showed his power over death. You want to have your own faith? Young people, Nathan, you and Roderick, Caleb, listen to this. They came to the tomb of Jesus. Somebody put him in that tomb, and he was not there. You know why he was not there? Because he's God in the flesh. What happened to that body? Two things of history. History of his death. You don't need a Bible to prove that he was crucified. Secular writing proves that. And the other fact of history is the tomb is empty. And the story of Jesus, tell me the story of Jesus is He's God in the flesh. And so as we, person wanted to be baptized today, David asked that that young lady that says, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ? You believe He's Emmanuel. And based on her affirmation of that faith, she was immersed in the name of Jesus. You witnessed it with your own eyes. Someone born into the family of God. Because the prophet spoke for God and said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the thrust of this Old Testament. The word prophet means he speaks for God. Listen to him. Emmanuel, God in the flesh, listen to him. He's King of all kings, Lord of all lords. Obey him. If Emmanuel lived on this earth, and he's King of all kings, he's my king. And my responsibility to that great king is to obey him. And the third aspect is, let him take care of our sins. That's the story about Jesus. Somewhere in the teaching of that sermon to that man in that chariot, Philip had to talk about a lot of these. God's been on this earth, and you need to do what He said. Because He's God's new prophet, not the old prophet like Moses, an Old Testament system, but a brand new system, not just for the Jewish nation, but for all mankind, even men from Ethiopia. And you and I need to understand that had to be a part of that lesson. As they went on their way, He came to some water, and He says, can I be baptized? What is that all about? It's because that prophet has told me what I must do in order to be saved. The prophet says, you've got to believe in Jesus. There's not one single time in all of the Bible when that prophet, Jesus, or any of His disciples ever told anybody to repeat the sinner's prayer. That came out of the imagination of man. But the King of Kings, the Emmanuel who was on this earth, says, you need to believe in me and you need to repent. You need to believe in me because without faith it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. You need to repent. That is, change your mind. Get out of the driver's seat. Give your life to Him. He's King of Kings and He longs to be your King. And if you'll confess your faith in Him, as Crystal did this morning, let us know that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You know as much as that man in the chariot did. He heard one sermon. I'm not sure the content, specific content of that sermon, but I'm sure of the content of it. Emmanuel has come. He's God's mouthpiece. He's your priest. And He's your Lord. That's the story of Jesus. And so He who gave this New Testament says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's Mark 16:16. The mouthpiece from God says, you want to be saved? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He did not say, he who believes is saved, and then you'd be baptized someday. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the mouthpiece for God. And then We cast all of our cares upon Him, and He bears in His body on the cross every sin we've ever committed. That's what forgiveness is all about. The priest has been our go-between between us and God, and at the cross, He paid the price for our redemption. If you've not obeyed the gospel, or if you're a wayward child of God, you need the prayers of the church. Let us know how we can help you. You could be baptized this very night, just like that man had heard one sermon, and he learned enough in that one sermon. You've heard the story of Jesus tonight, and you can give your life to Him. You may have heard it again and again, and you've decided, this is the time I'm going to do it. You can do it right now by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. If you're subject to the invitation, in any way, will you not come right this time? Let's stand together.